Hey, it's Bethany here. Welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I want to remind you about the Shift Intensive 7-day mini course. It starts this coming Sunday, that's October 4th, and it's 7 days, 7 teachings to help you shift out of any area in your life where you're stuck and step into living a life that you love. We talk about control, power, emotions, how to identify what is happening that's blocking you and stepping into things that you want to do regardless of feeling fearful. And there's so many things that are on the inside of Shift that are going to help you truly step into transformation of your life. If you feel stuck in any area, now's the time. Shift is $47. I know you heard me. It's only $47. And the cool thing about what I do with Shift is I offer it every few months. And once you're in, baby, you're in. So next time I offer it, automatically you'll be put in that program. And each time I up-level it a little bit, I change some things around. I actually do a little shifting myself to make it even better. So I hope you join me. $47, simply go to www.shiftwithb.com. Again, shiftwithb, that's the letter B.com. I'll see you on the inside. Let's take action and live a big life. See you there. Let me introduce you to Paul Fortune. We had such an amazing conversation, and I'll let you dive right into it after I give you just a little bit of information about him. So Paul is a coach, and he was born with cerebral palsy, and it was so severe that the doctors told his mom that he would never be able to walk. Now, his mom didn't accept that. She was a great mom and had a wonderful mindset and told him it wasn't his destiny. He was able to overcome that and is now living a very active, normal life. But none of it was easy. And he uses his experience to help his clients as a mindset coach. And today, he's sharing his story with us. He is an overcomer. He's overcome all kinds of obstacles in his life, and you're going to love, love, love his story. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. You just heard all about Paul in his intro, but now we're going to hear directly from the man himself. Hey, Paul, welcome to Dialed In.
Thanks, Bethany. I'm very happy to be here with you.
So, as we discussed pre-show, Dialed In is all about knowing who you are, chasing after the things that feed your soul, and really living a big life, and you have quite a story to share. So I am just going to let you dive in and share where you've been and where you are now, and then we'll wrap up with some teaching points and make sure people know how to connect with you. Sound good?
Sounds great with me.
All right.
All right. Well, for your viewers, I was born with something called cerebral palsy. And if your viewers don't know what that is, it's lack of oxygen to the brain. Generally happens at labor. And it could prevent, or it could give paralyzation to one side of the body, it could affect your speech, and it's a permanent disease. It never goes away. And apparently, the doctors thought I was so severe in my case that they told my mom I would never be able to walk.
Wow.
Yeah. And well, thank goodness for a great mom. She just didn't take that diagnosis and go with that. She got a second, third, fourth. Finally found somebody that was willing to help us. And that's basically kind of where my journey started. Intense physical therapy, 5 days a week. Was able to defy the doctor when I was 3. Don't really remember it very much, but I was able to walk. And obviously that was a feather in our cap. I say our cap because my mom was, you know, instrumental in all of that. But I do remember being put into soccer around 5. And I felt so defeated because I could probably run 25 to 50 yards max before my foot would just start killing me. And I felt so defeated to see all these kids running laps all around the field and having my dad tell the coach, hey, he can run to the lamppost and back. That's basically all he can do. And I remember going to my mom saying, I don't want to play soccer. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm kind of embarrassing myself. And my mom said, you know what? That's cool. If you don't want to play soccer anymore after this season, that's your business, but you have to honor your commitment. We signed up for the season, so you got to play it. So that's basically kind of been my mantra all my life. Wow. So I finished the season, but then I got a break around 6 or 7. I got surgery on my right foot to tighten the tendon, to give me a little more spring in my step, to take away the pain when I ran. And I didn't test it out, but I changed schools around that same time. And I remember my first day of PE, physical education, we did our stretches and the teacher said, okay, now run a lap. And I'm like thinking to myself, here we go again. These kids are going to see that I can only run 25 to 50 yards and they're going to start teasing me. But it was different because I had my surgery. The point where I normally stop, I kept going and I was keeping up with the other kids. I'm thinking, come on, Paul, keep going, bud. You got this. You got this. And I finished the lap with the other kids. And on the outside, I kept it cool. But on the inside, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Right. Finally, the first time in my life where I just kind of fit in with the other kids, where I didn't stand out. And it just felt so good. Well, things did get easier for me after that point. But I wouldn't consider them easy. I changed schools again in junior high. And being a new kid with no disability is tough, changing schools in junior high. It's just hard. That's right. Just, you know, kids changing hormones. It's a tough age for everybody. Well, I was a new kid with a disability. So I walked with a limp. I held my right arm a little differently. So I was brutally teased pretty much every single day. It was awful. I remember going in my room just crying, going, why me? Why do I have to be different? Why can't I be one of the other kids? I'm not. And I stand out and I hate it. And around that same time, I was raised Catholic, so my mom wanted me to go to a Catholic high school, so I had to take some sort of assessment test for high school. And apparently, I guess I didn't do well on the test, and we met with the principal, and the principal told my mom and me that, you know, we'll accept him, obviously, but don't expect much from him, you know, because, you know, he didn't score very well on tests. He's not college material. After one test, the principal said that. So I had that going on. I had the teasing going on, and around midway through my eighth grade, I was just fed up with it. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. I didn't want to feel this pain anymore. So I thought to myself, what could I do to distract me from feeling this pain? And I thought to myself, what if I set a goal for myself? So at the time, I really, really loved baseball. So I said, okay, why don't I try to make my varsity baseball team? Why don't I set that to be my goal? So from then on, I was playing winter ball, fall ball, spring ball. And if I wasn't doing that, I was throwing a tennis ball against the wall. And I was doing that every single day. And the thing that I didn't know about myself while I was doing that, my self-esteem was changing. I was holding my shoulders back. I was heading my head forward. And I was changing myself. My mindset was changing. And as a result of my mindset changing, people's mindset about me was changing. So instead of bullying and teasing me, they started rooting for me. So my high school years were much different than my junior high years because of the way I carried myself. And I'm happy to say that I did make my varsity baseball team as a junior and a senior. And then now it was time for college, and my GPA wasn't that great because I still kind of had that self-esteem issue with that principal saying, well, I'm not, you know, worthy of it. And I thought to myself, after I accomplished the goal of being a baseball player, I thought, why don't I transition it to my grades? So I enrolled to a junior college, and I always had that play in my head, that principal telling me that I was not college material. And I thought, you know what, let's change that narrative. So I increased my GPA to 3.5, did well at a junior college, transferred to Cal State Fullerton, same thing, did great there, graduated. And now I'm a 22, 23-year-old kid, having no life experience, not knowing what I wanted to do with myself. So I had a friend who was much older than me, who was high up in the mortgage industry. And he said, well, why don't you try being in the mortgage industry? So I said, okay, let's give it a shot. And I really enjoyed it for many years. I was really, really good at it. And then 2008, 2009 hit, the economy changed and the whole landscape was different. Mm-hmm. I had these regulations put on me where, you know, I had to say my mortgage license number. And if I didn't say my mortgage license number, I could get in trouble because they had these secret shoppers. So rather than really diving into what the client wanted, I was making sure I hit my cues. Oh, did I say my mortgage license number? Did I say this? Did I say that? Mm-hmm. So I was really losing that luster of the business. And I remember about 6 years ago, they had this motivational speaker that came to speak with us. And the person just blew me away. It was so awesome. And after the presentation, I went up to him to tell him how great of a job he did. And it was so awesome. And he was so gracious. I picked his brain a little bit. He told me he started as a life coach. I'm like, what is a life coach? And he explained that to me. I'm like, you know what? That might be what I want to do. So I got my coaching certificate, started putting out in the universe that I want to be a life coach. I was doing it part-time with the mortgage industry. Then I made some financial changes, you know, paid off a lot of debt, doing a lot of different things. And I made the leap of faith a little over a year ago and doing life coaching full-time now. And I'm here talking with you now.
Wow. What a journey. This is fabulous. So looking back, you know, obviously in coaching, we talk a lot about mindset, right? So was that something that your mom talked with you about? Did she talk to you about like how your thoughts and your feelings drive your behavior and your beliefs? I mean, Well, I'm just going to say it, and I'm not saying it in any kind of condescending or judgy way, but that the average teenager has no concept of even like managing their thoughts or even emotional regulation or understanding what beliefs are driving their behavior. I mean, that's not a priority. And most people really don't know what all that is. So how did you even know what to do to start changing?
Well, I don't think that my mom was that scientific the way that you put it mm-hmm. on that. But yeah, she was definitely, she's still alive. She's definitely somebody that was, you know, hey, you know what, let's just control what we can control and not worry about what we can't control. And that was mm-hmm. kind of the mindset that she kind of taught me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. I mean, during that time, the junior high, when I was, you know, coming up with a goal, you know, I came up with a positive goal, but you know, if I didn't have the great upbringing of my mom, I could have went another way. It could have been drugs, right?
Right.
And but my mom, because of my mom, you know, really, you know, being a great mom, she instilled, you know, positive things in my head. So when I was thinking about things to distract, I went positive as opposed to negative. Mm-hmm. So, but she wasn't scientific. She doesn't have a degree in it and all that stuff. It was just kind of embedded in her on teaching me that, hey, you know, there's, you have a lot of challenges, agreed, but you know what, there's a lot of great things that you can do, and let's focus on that. And that's kind of been the mantra of my entire life, and I owe that a lot to my mom's teachings.
I think that's amazing. You know, your story reminds me a little bit, like, I don't know if you've heard, there's all different renditions of this, but with Einstein, you know, he went to school and then the teacher sent a note home saying he's not fit for school. He can't. And, you know, the mom unfolded the note or whatever. And he's like, Einstein's standing there and he's like, what does it say? And she's like, it says you're brilliant. And I get to teach you now because you learn differently and you're going to stay with me and we're going to uncover all the amazing things, right? And not taking that for a concrete answer, you know, not accepting one person's statement that you're not good enough or one test result that you're not able to be, do, and have all the amazing things that you want in your life based on that. I mean, it's unfortunate that sometimes I think that we don't realize the power of our words and the power to give hope or steal hope. You know, it can be soul crushing, especially when it's an adult mentor that is pouring in or supposed to be pouring in to children, just saying, oh, don't expect too much. I mean, wow. And quite the opposite is true. So the speaker that came that you were so impacted by, the fact that he would talk to you afterwards, interact with you, and then he also dealt you some hope too, right? And that conversation essentially greatly impacted the trajectory of your life. Would you say?
Oh, absolutely it did, because I was definitely in a rut during that time. Hearing his speech and hearing what he was talking about was just awesome. And, you know, it's been so long. I really don't know, you know, I can point to exactly the words he was saying, but at the time his energy and how he was presenting himself, that was what I was drawn to. And like I said, I thanked him quite a bit, you know, and probably has no idea about me now, but he had a lot of impact on me, and I'm sure he's pretty good. So I'm sure he has had millions of people that he's impacted in some way, in some form. So yeah. I'm grateful that I was able to see his presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sometimes we deal hope and we don't even realize we're doing it. I think anyone that's experienced, overcoming significant obstacles or even small obstacles in their life, you can look back and you can pinpoint, oh, look, I had that conversation and I was feeling really low and I don't know what they said, but I felt hope again, you know, and it's that hope that kind of keeps us going, no matter what. And I think those conversations and those interactions are huge. I think that, if it's ever on your heart to reach out to somebody or someone crosses your mind, act on it. You should always act on those nudges, on those, because everybody needs encouragement. There isn't one person alive that doesn't need some encouragement. And if we can do that for each other, it's such a gift.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the name of the game, right? We want to lift each other up, and it's all about that positive mindset. And the thing that I like to teach my clients, you know, especially, you know, when they're in a negative emotional state, is when you wake up in the morning and before you grab your phone or check your social media or turn on the TV or whatever your morning routine is, take a few moments to think about what you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. And it could be anything. It could be your sense of humor. It could be your spouse, it could be your kids, whatever it is. And just hone in on that. Mm-hmm. And that will set your day off on the right foot. Then you'll start to look out for all the positive things that might happen during your day. Like, oh, I just got a thing on my phone for free coffee. It keeps going and going and going. Because if you do that, you're going to have more good days than bad. Mm-hmm. Because you can always look at the negative too, right? You could be driving to work and you have a flat tire and go, oh, just my luck. I would get a flat tire. Things like this always happen to me. Well, things always happen to you like that is because you're looking out for it. And, you know, in my life, I try to look at things in the positive light. And as a result, I have way more good days than bad.
Absolutely. Where your focus goes, your energy flows, right? You know, it's all, it's all that concept. It's like, and for those of you that are listening, I mean, you can put this in like really simple context. Like, how many of you have ever gotten a new car or been looking to get a certain kind of car, and all of a sudden you see like either that color of car everywhere or that kind of car everywhere, you know? And it's not that those cars just appeared, it's just that your focus shifted. And truly, where we put our focus and attention, it really guides our life.
Oh yeah, no question about it. So, you know, as a result of that, you want to put yourself in a positive life, right? Because life can be so beautiful, or it can't, or it may not be. And it's all about you. It's all about your mindset and where you want to take it. Because your mind has a lot of control of how your life is going to be. So you want to take advantage of that as best you can.
Absolutely. So Paul, when you're working with clients and you're one of the action items is to get up and practice gratitude before you do anything else. How do you not go back to old habits during the day? Because, you know, if you just practice gratitude in the morning, that lasts for 10, 15 minutes, but then you get distracted by the day or get a bad email or someone pulls out in front of you. How do you help your clients not fall back into the old mindset?
Absolutely. And it's a work in progress, and it takes progress every single day. You have to challenge yourself every single day. It's not something you can do one time and it's going to fit. It's every single day you got to do this. And I'm not telling anybody to bottle up their feelings when bad things happen. You know, we're all human beings. Right. You're entitled to feel anger. You're entitled to feel sad. But at some point, you're going to say to yourself, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be sad anymore. And it's all about being aware that you don't want to be that way anymore. And after you say that, hey, you know what? I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. That's when you bring back that gratitude piece. Okay, what right now is going well? What is it? Is it just, you know, it could just be, I'm alive. Okay, let's focus on being alive. And then change it from there. And that's what it is. It's a daily practice. It's something you can't just do one time. It's going to stick. It's every single day you got to do it. Every single day you got to practice that. And that's including me. There's some times in my life where, you know, like bad things happen to me and I'm like, oh, and it totally wrecks me. And then I think to myself, okay, I got my anger out. I got my sadness out. Now I'm going to take some breaths. And I don't want to feel that way anymore. So let's focus on what's good right now. And then we change our mood from there.
I love that you mentioned taking breaths because literally, so when you are in survival, like in a state of survival, whether it just be high stress or panic or anger or any highly emotional state, you're constricted. And I know viewers you or listeners, you can't really see me right now, but I have my fists clenched, but you're constricted when you're in that state of being and like physiologically in your body, you aren't able to really come up with creative solutions because, well, frankly, the blood to your brain is pulled away from that area. And so taking breaths is a huge, huge shifter for you. Anytime you feel like you're constricted, like you're blocked, like you're having a high level of emotion of any kind that would be negatively impacting you, breaths, you can do three rounds of three counts in, three counts hold, three counts out, slow counts, obviously. And that is shown after 60 to 90 seconds, that is a reset to your body. And once you have that reset, then you can focus on other things. Then you can problem solve. Then you can be creative. And that's a big deal. And I know it that sounds simple, but would you agree, Paul, that changing your life is like a moment by moment practice?
Oh yeah. Well, no question about it. And you know, it's funny too. It's like you can go out and have passions or whatever and then realize, you know what, oh man, this is not my passion. I don't want to do this anymore. And sometimes that wrecks people, like, oh, I wanted to be this astronaut. I wanted to do this. And you get to a certain point with this math and everything like that. And you're like, you know what, I don't know if this interests me anymore. And then you kind of, sometimes people go into depression because they're like, oh, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. And like, I want to tell people, it's not about the destination so much. It's about the journey.
Yes.
You know, I use this analogy all the time. When you see kids, they're building their Legos. When they're having the most fun is when they're actually building the Legos. You know, they may have fun telling their mom and dad, hey, look what I built. Mm-hmm. But when they're having the most fun is when they're actually in the journey of building the Legos. And I think that we need to do that as adults. Enjoy the ride of whatever that passion takes you. And if it changes, that's okay. You know, sometimes it will give you hints on where you want to go. When I told you about my goal about being a varsity baseball player, you know, the journey was what it was about. It wasn't me becoming a varsity baseball player. I told you that when I started doing this, I held my shoulders back. I had my head forward. I changed my mindset about myself. And that was the most important part because I did that. And these other people that saw me, they saw me in a different way. They didn't bully me anymore. They were rooting for me. And right there, that was the win right there.
Absolutely.
Me in the journey. And I think that's very important that people feel like, oh man, I have to accomplish this. You know what? Sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's just about going after it and not having the regrets.
Mm-hmm. Boy, there's several things that come to mind as you're sharing, but you know, one thing is, and I don't want to get woo-woo here, but the truth of it is we're all energy, right? And we exude energy. So, and if you're not understanding maybe exactly what I mean by that, think about a time that you've walked into a room, whether you've known the people in the room or not, and you can feel the tension, Okay, there, your energy goes before you. So Paul, like your disability didn't change, right? But your energy changed when you were working towards your goal. And people felt that and they responded differently. Because the truth is, we teach people how to treat us. And what we allow is what happens, you know? And so when you started to feel better about yourself, I would assume that what you allowed, how you allowed people to treat you, probably changed a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. My self-esteem, my energy, mm-hmm. everything was higher. And you're right, I didn't have that tolerance for bullying anymore of me, because I had more self-worth. Yeah. And it was all due to going after a goal.
Right. And truly, we become what we think about. And my favorite mug, again, listeners, you can't see this because, well, obviously we're audio, but my favorite mug, I'm holding it up to Paul right now. It says, "Don't believe everything you think." Like truly, you know, we have about 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And if you try to, you know, weed out just the negative ones and focus on those, you're going to have a really negative and limited life. You get to choose moment to moment what you believe about what you think and about how you feel. And another thing I thought about as you were talking is our emotions. You know, when you were talking about taking that breath and kind of having that reset, one of the first things I learned when I became a coach, when I started working with a coach, because I did that before I became one, was he taught me that emotions are like colors. They're not good or bad. They just are. But then we judge them, right? And sometimes we stuff them. We don't want to feel them, so we resist feeling them, and then we stuff them, and then that can turn into pain killing, which can look like it can look like horrible bad things like drinking and drugs and all that. But it also can look like overeating. It can look like excessive shopping. It can look like numbing out with Netflix binges, or just mindless TV scrolling or social media scrolling. And if we're not careful, we can end up with those kind of painkilling addictions and emotional stuffing, and that will stop us because we can't be creative and we can't live into our passions and see our gifts and talents and live, you know, a great life with amazing mindset if we're stuck in those patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. You alluded to the point about our negative thoughts that we have in our head and don't believe everything we think. And it's funny, is we say things to ourselves that we wouldn't even say to our enemies, but we say to ourselves all the time.
Yes.
So we need to give ourselves a break. And it all starts with that self-love and be aware of these negative thoughts and say, no, you know what? I am not that. I am not that. I'm this. I am this. I am this. It's a constant battle that you have to have with yourself every single day, because we're all human beings. We're going to have negative thoughts. But yes. But if we can be aware of these thoughts and change those patterns, we're ahead of the game.
Absolutely. I love that you mentioned that. You know, there's studies out that show that we believe, humans as a whole, for some reason, we believe that if we're an a-hole to ourselves, that somehow that allows us to be better. And I think a lot of it is just our societal norms, like suck it up, buttercup, big girls don't cry, you know, real men don't cry. Like we're taught to emotionally stuff, I mean, from a very young age, and those patterns are ingrained in us. And so then, you know, of course, we're going to be mean to ourselves anytime we feel a feeling that that we deem as negative or weak, right? Because we're taught not to be weak. And really, if you can just feel the feeling, allow it without judgment, it will, like, you'll feel it and it'll just move on. And then you're free. There's freedom in the feeling. I don't think I've ever said that before. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you allow it. And when you allow something, it can pass, right? But if you're stuffing it, then you're resisting it. And then it stays around because you're not dealing with it.
Yeah. And another thing that you brought up that reminded me, it's okay to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness. And I think that a lot of people, you know, especially in the older generations, is like you said, suck it up, buttercup type of attitude. For instance, the story I just told you about my cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. I was ashamed of that story for many, many years. And the reason why I was ashamed of that story is all my childhood, all I wanted to do was just fit in, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't want any special treatment. I didn't want anybody to treat me any differently than any other kids. So that was always my mantra. I got this. I'm just like you. Don't treat me any differently. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bury that story. And it wasn't until I started really wanting to become a life coach to realize, you know what? How am I going to allow these other people to be vulnerable with me if I'm not vulnerable with them and show where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. And now that I show where I'm coming from, people want to open up to me because they know that I've struggled. So they're like, okay, he knows where I'm coming from because of his struggles.
Yes.
And it builds a bond. And it's been so awesome that I was able to overcome that. And now, you know, now it's second nature to me. It's part of my life and I embrace it.
Let me ask you something. Is your goal now to fit in?
No, it's not to fit in. If you see my, social media feeds, you know, or my stories, mm-hmm. I'll be in my car sometimes with my car parked and I'll just be singing. Right. And I'm not caring what, look at this doofus. No, you know what? I want to show my joy. So I want to be me. And especially now as a life coach, I just want to be authentically me because I feel like if I'm myself, people will resonate with me. The right people will resonate with me yes. because I want to be myself. So
yes.
No, I don't want to necessarily fit in anymore.
Yes. I love that. Okay. So, the study I was referring to earlier about how we're mean to ourselves overall, the results of the study showed that when we are kind and compassionate to ourselves, everything changes. And it's really about that love and compassion. And once you start to love yourself, you start to lean into who you really are. And here's the thing. Everybody wants to fit in. I was in sixth grade, Paul. I wrote a note to the popular girls asking them if I could hang out with them when they promptly told me no. I grew up in a trailer, always felt less than. We weren't the people that went to a university. Like, here's the thing. We're never alone. Everybody, especially in their teen years. I don't care if you look like you have life by the ass when you're a teen. You're still insecure. You feel too tall, too short, oily, awkward, weird, uncomfortable in your own skin. Everybody feels that way. And it doesn't go away as an adult. Either you keep trying to fit in and you live your life for what you think everybody else expects of you, or you lean into who you are and you sing in your car. And you understand that like attracts like. And when you are truly you, when you take off the capes and the masks, your people find you, just like right here, right now, Paul. Like, we're connected. We're like-minded people. We found each other because we're authentic and like attracts like. And I think that's the best thing you can ever do. I've worked in senior living for years and years, and I'm a nurse by trade, and I sat on the deathbed with many people, and I heard story after story of lives lived for other people's expectations. And I always wanted to travel. I wish I would have had more children. I wish I would have not had so many fractured relationships. I wish I would have forgiven people. I mean, just regret after regret after regret. And people didn't live big because they lived a life that they thought everybody else expected them to live, but then no one wins there. Like, what's the point, you know? And I think it's time for us to like wake up as a society, like wake up and step into being our amazing selves, no matter how weird and quirky it is, because that's where the freedom is.
Yeah, no, excellent point. I love the fact that you talked about, seniors, and they talk about their regrets. They don't talk about the risk they took. They talk about the regrets they had. And that's so powerful, because so many of us are so afraid of failure, whether it be because of other people's opinions or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you pull back the layers. What is the worst thing that could happen if you wanted to live in Colorado or travel the world or
right.
or started a business? You know, what is the worst that could happen? I think that people, have this this, you know, these negative thoughts we talked about, you know, thinking, oh no, you know, in your spiral. But if you really pull back the layers, if you fail, all well, okay. Right. You know, if you failed your business, okay, now we get a job. Oh, I didn't like Colorado, we move somewhere else.
Right.
Whatever it is, you know, go for it.
I mean, why do we like make it all so life and death? Like none of us are getting out of here alive anyway. Like, why not live this life instead of just existing through it?
Yeah, well said.
Yeah. It's so you help people unleash that, yeah, through your coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. I really dial in on the mindset. For instance, I had a client a couple weeks ago. She called in and I thought to myself, oh man, this is going to be a tough one, right? And she just went on with her story, and it was, you know, a lot of it was really negative because that's the kind of that's where she was. That was her thought process right then and there. And I was taking notes on what she was saying, and let her vent it out, let her get it out. And then I went through her story and said, you're doing this good, you're doing this good, you're doing this good. And she's like, oh, you know what? You're right. I am. I was so focused on the negative. I didn't mm-hmm. realize that I was doing all this the right way and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying by the end of the call that she was flipping for joy, but you could tell by her voice that she was much different from the beginning of the call to the end of the call. And right there, that's a win for me. And hopefully a win for her.
I'm sure. Absolutely. You know, we all have blind spots. We have ways of thinking and being that we can't see ourselves. I mean, it's just like, you know, you're sitting around with a group of friends, and if maybe your friends engage in gossip, you hear all about how so-and-so should change your life and why she shouldn't do this to this person. And you can't believe she said that. That's because she has blind spots. We all have blind spots. It's so easy to look into someone else's life and see their 10 deficits because we're not in their shoes, right? And we're also judging them based on our perceptions. But if we could all see our own blind spots, like we wouldn't behave the way we behave, but it's driven by our deeper beliefs, which drive our thoughts. And I know that's a lot to unpack, and we don't have time to do all that here. But truly the best thing you can do is find someone that can like be a truth teller for you and uncover those blind spots so you can move forward. I mean, I spent years being highly defensive to people when they would ask me questions, especially like my bosses, because I was terrified they were going to figure out that I was stupid because I believed that I was unworthy of anything pretty much, and that I was stupid. And those are both lies. And I didn't realize I was doing that. In fact, I had a boss say to me once, Bethany, you do an amazing job here. Fabulous job. But anytime I come to you with some questions about your process, you get defensive. And you know what my answer was? No, I don't. I don't get defensive. It was so ingrained, I couldn't see it. It was a blind spot. And that was one of the first things that my coach and I worked on. And because I obviously, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be a jerk. Like people, unless you're a psychopath. Okay, let's put the psychopaths in their own box. Besides being a psychopath, nobody wakes up in the morning and says they're going to be a jerk. I was walking around being defensive and probably abrasive because I was so terrified that people were going to see that I wasn't worthy. And we do that all the time. We people do that all the time. It comes out in different ways. The person that knows it all, the person that tells everybody how to do things, the person that's mousy in the corner and won't speak their voice, the people that stay in horrible relationships because they don't feel like they're valuable or worthy of anything better. Like all of our beliefs drive our outcomes in our life.
I'm curious, what made you want to go to a coach?
The pain of being where I was greater than the pain of change. Like on the outside of my life, it looked like I was killing it. But on the inside, it was killing me. Mm. My relationships were falling apart. I was disconnected from my family. I was working a bajillion hours a week so I could win, and I wasn't fulfilled. I thought once I checked all the boxes, right? Like once I got like the husband and the 2.5 kids and the cars and the house and the income and the title, then I would be like magically happy. And that's not how it works. That's destination addiction. You know, that's not enjoying the journey.
No, so, no. Well, kudos to you that you were able to open up and have an open mind about it, because it sounded like you didn't have a very open mind. You're like defensive. And the fact that you were able to change, I think that's awesome. Right? I mean, that's tough to do, to not be defensive anymore. That's extremely tough. And you were able to overcome that. So kudos to you.
It's a journey. It truly is. But to have somebody that you feel safe with, that you can be real with, and then all of a sudden you connect the dots, like, whoa, I do that. Oh, there's the worthiness again. Yep. There, it's showing its head, you know, and every time you reach a new level, so to speak, in your awareness and overcoming blind spots, something else shows up. Like, this is a lifelong work. There's a devil at every level, right? Every time you up level, you, and those beliefs that don't serve you well, they never go away. You just learn how to not believe everything you think. You learn how to breathe and allow the emotion to pass, and then choose how you behave in the world, right? Instead of reacting, you start responding to the situations in your life, and then it's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about keeping that open mind, because if we don't keep that open mind, we'll stop growing, right?
Right.
You know, you reach another level and something else comes up. Well, we have to have the open mind to be open to that change, mm-hmm. right? There's no, if you get to a point where you're saying, oh, I'm good, you're in trouble. Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. You should always feel like, you know, there's always something that we can learn about ourselves. There's always something we can improve.
Right.
And be humble about it. Right. We don't want to get to a level where, you know, I got it all. I'm a black belt in coaching. So No. You get to that level, you're not serving your clients well. Right.
Well, absolutely. And listeners, if you're seeking a coach and they come across like that, run. That's not the person you need to be with. Like, you need to be with someone that is in process too, because once you stop growing, you start falling back into your old habits. You know, once you stop being practicing that moment to moment awareness of, like, I mean, truly, it's like, it's a thought and feeling filter. Like, you have to engage a filter, an awareness of what's going on in your head to be able to change. And is it hard? Oh my gosh, it's the hardest work you'll ever do in your life, but there is so much freedom in it. So much freedom. Like, yeah. Paul, how do people connect with you? What's the best way people can find you? I got to see you like singing in your car. I've got to see this.
Yeah, well, we got to be Facebook friends and Instagram friends, and you'll see it. I posted one last week of me singing Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. So
perfect.
I do it all the time. Yeah. But anyway, the best way to get a hold of me is through my website. It's calltoaction.coach, and it actually even has my cell phone on there. You can book it on through the website, but some people like to just, you know, give me a call, and that's fine too. And then we'll book appointment that way. I want to make it as easy as possible to get in touch with me. I do a free consultation to make sure that we're a fit. And if we're a fit, we get to work.
Excellent. Excellent. Anything else on your mind before we wrap up? Anything else you want to close with?
Yeah. With the saying that I like to tell everybody, if you believe, you can achieve.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, I wrote down 3 teaching points that came out of our conversation. I could have written down like 33, I think, but I limited it. So, number 1, don't believe everything you're told. Number 2, focus on the good to see more good. And number 3, practice gratitude. And I know those are just 3 tiny snippets, but there's so much good in this conversation. Paul, I had a blast talking with you today. Thank you for being here.
I did too. Like you said, our energies matched. It was a great conversation for sure.
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you so much for spending time with us here on Dialed In today. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. They come out every week on Tuesday morning. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.